We started well, but we discovered that things that we never expected to raise the popularity of Zimbabwe would do so. Zimbabwe has been a country through negative publicity and was not even a country expected to exhibit. But because of the nature of what we produced, it became one of the top five in terms of popularity as assessed by the organizers. And this was largely due to the innovation that we took. And that innovation mainly was to promote crocodile meat. And then we added on that innovation of making croco burgers, which became a hot seller. The other product that did well, which we also didn't expect, was really when we transformed the baobab flour to a baobab fruit drink, which has become also very popular at our stand. So it's not surprising that when you get to the Zimbabwean pavilion, you find queues running in circles. Either they are looking, they are waiting for baobab drink, or they are also waiting for the croco burger.
Let's talk briefly, Honorable, about the negative publicity. Do you think government is doing enough to explain its positions to avoid the misconceptions that you are talking about?
I think the government has done much in terms of engagement. And I think particularly the ministry and the minister of finance and economic planning. And this is evidenced by the number of visits now being made by multilateral institutions, the World Bank, the IMF, the African Development Bank. All that, it doesn't just come. It's as a result of continuous engagement, continuous explanation of telling the story as we see it, the Zimbabwe story. And once you engage people and people begin to understand the story as it is, you find people appreciate, and they end up, the people who used probably not wanting to talk to you now want to be friends with you.
I think one of the most misunderstood policy is that of indigenization. How is that being addressed by the government to make sure its position is clear to potential investors?
Yeah, we are trying as much as we are possible to try to explain. And I think we are now seeing the fruits of that clarification. Firstly, that it's not true that when we talk about indigenization, we are talking of grabbing shares from an investor. It's not true. Whatever shares that are then end up in the hands of an indigenous person, they have to be paid for. There's nothing for nothing. Any shares have to be paid for. And that's one. Secondly, there is also a misconception that Zimbabwe is talking about a 51-49 split in every undertaking. It's not true. 51-49 is the story when we talk about finite resources. When you talk about mining, where you are talking of depleting resources, where once you mine, that value will never come back. And in a number of countries, it's catered for in a number of royalties and other payments that we make. And in Zimbabwe, we are saying that is the only area where we can say, because of the resources that are now made available to you as an investor, that resource represents our share of the shareholding. And we have had, and companies have come to invest in Zimbabwe, and they see no problem with that.